Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Mistake of Law and Reasonable Suspicion Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On December 15, 2014, the Supreme Court issued its decision in Hyen v. North Carolina. The question in this case was whether a police officer's mistaken understanding of a law can provide the reasonable suspicion that the Fourth Amendment requires to justify a traffic stop. In an opinion delivered by Chief Justice Roberts, the court held that a police officer's reasonable mistake of law can give rise to the reasonable suspicion necessary to justify a stop under the Fourth Amendment. Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, Ginsburg, Breyer, Alito, and Kagan joined the opinion of the court. Justice Kagan filed a concurring opinion, which Justice Ginsburg joined. Justice Sotomayor filed a dissenting opinion. The decision of the Supreme Court of North Carolina was affirmed. To discuss the case, we have Ryan Scott, who is an associate professor of law at the Indiana University Maurer School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Scott.
Hello, my name is Ryan Scott. I'm a professor at Indiana University's Maurer School of Law in Bloomington, Indiana, and I'm here to describe and offer a few thoughts about a recent decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, Hyen versus North Carolina, an important and interesting Fourth Amendment case. The court announced its decision on December 15th, 2014. The question presented in Hyen was whether a police officer's reasonable mistake of law renders a search unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment. A police officer in North Carolina pulled over Mr. Hyen's vehicle because of a broken tail light, which is a misdemeanor under state law. During the traffic stop, the officer then got consent to search the rest of the vehicle and found some cocaine, which was the basis for a criminal charge. The state courts issued a surprise ruling in his case. The traffic statute is confusing and ambiguous, but apparently it's perfectly legal to drive with only one working taillight in North Carolina. The statute has a reference to a stoplight singular, and Mr. Hyen's car had one stoplight, taillight that was working. The Supreme Court held by an 8-to-1 margin that although the officer's understanding of the traffic laws turned out to be wrong, the search was nonetheless constitutional. It was reasonable under the Fourth Amendment because his mistake of law was reasonable. This was an ambiguous statute, and a reasonable officer could have understood that both traffic lights had to be working correctly to comply with the law. In an opinion by Chief Justice Roberts, the court relied heavily on its previous cases addressing reasonable mistakes of fact. If an officer pulls over a driver who's using a high-occupancy vehicle lane, the court gave as an example, but then discovers upon approaching the car that there are actually two kids sleeping in the back seat, the driver wasn't breaking the law, but the search, the seizure of the vehicle, the traffic stop, is still reasonable under the Fourth Amendment in those circumstances because the officer made a reasonable mistake about what the facts were. Similarly, the court reasoned, an officer's mistake of law, if it's reasonable, doesn't violate the Fourth Amendment. Richard Ray, another legal scholar, calls this the other rule of lenity. Police ought to get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to ambiguous laws, at least when they're conducting searches under the reasonableness requirement of the Fourth Amendment. Crucially, this decision is not just about the exclusionary rule. This is not about remedies. It's about the scope of the Fourth Amendment itself. So in some cases, the court has said a search violated the Fourth Amendment, but we should nonetheless withhold the remedy of excluding the evidence obtained from court proceedings. The Leon good faith rule is a good example of this. That's not what happened in Hyen. Here the court held that the search itself did not violate the Fourth Amendment, even though the underlying legal judgment was mistaken. The officer acted reasonably because the statute was sufficiently ambiguous. The result in Hyen isn't too terribly surprising, but the margin of victory for the government was came as a surprise. 8-to-1 is much more lopsided than many of us expected. That tally probably has a lot to do with the difficult issues that the court managed to avoid addressing, or at least avoid addressing at length in the opinion. You may recall in the pre-decision podcast in this case, I described Hyen as another potential step toward what would be a major shakeup in search and seizure law. Does an officer's reasonable mistake about what the Fourth Amendment itself requires make a search reasonable under the Fourth Amendment? So in this case, the error was about an ambiguous state traffic statute. But suppose in another case the officer makes a reasonable mistake about whether there's probable cause or whether there's reasonable suspicion or whether there were exigent circumstances, a reasonable mistake about what the Fourth Amendment requires. If the court were to hold that that kind of an error renders a search reasonable under the Fourth Amendment and therefore constitutional, that would be a bombshell, a major win for the government, a sharp limit on the Fourth Amendment's protection, because so many Fourth Amendment cases come down to the application of flexible totality of the circumstances standards where reasonable officers might make reasonable mistakes. And relatedly, are we moving toward a Fourth Amendment exclusionary rule that looks a lot like qualified immunity? That's the body of law that limits civil liability for police officers, except in cases where their actions violate clearly established law. The court, the opinion for the eight members of the majority, addressed those questions only briefly. The court does say that this inquiry, this reasonable mistake of law inquiry, is not as forgiving as the one employed in the distinct context of deciding whether an officer is entitled to qualified immunity for a constitutional or statutory violation. But the court offers no citation for that, no authority, no explanation of why. It's a very brief reference. It comes across as a kind of bold ipsa dixit by the court, so it's hard to say what exactly that will mean going forward, although it does indicate that the majority is not willing to go all the way to the qualified immunity model. More extensive discussion of these issues appears in an interesting concurring opinion by Justice Kagan, joined by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in which the court, the concurring justices, characterize these limitations that are alluded to in the majority opinion as very important and develops them further. For example, in the concurring opinion, Justice Kagan explicitly says that an officer's mistake about the Fourth Amendment, even if it's reasonable, can never be a basis for a reasonable mistake of law claim that renders a search constitutional. Likewise, Justice Kagan's concurring opinion indicates that the standard under the Fourth Amendment is more demanding than qualified immunity in the sense that a statute must be genuinely ambiguous, really difficult, and that such ambiguous statutes are exceedingly rare. Sounds like a much tougher standard than the qualified immunity standard, which is characterized in the concurring opinion as withholding immunity for all except plainly incompetent officers or those who knowingly violate the law. A lot of interesting questions about what exactly this means. The concurring opinion suggests that there might be a difference between a reasonable officer and a reasonable judge. Just how sloppy does an officer have to be before their mistake of law becomes unreasonable? And the majority and concurring opinion don't get into these kinds of details. It leaves a lot of uncharted territory for future litigation. For what it's worth, I'm not so sure that Justice Kagan's concurrence will end up limiting the majority's holding in the ways that she hopes. I think the majority's passages are so terse and underdeveloped that it's not clear that she's fairly reading the majority opinion when she tries to develop these into very robust limits on the reasonable mistake of law principle. In other words, I think this is another, at least incremental, step toward a qualified immunity type approach to either the exclusionary rule or to reasonableness under the Fourth Amendment, although perhaps signals that the court ultimately won't be willing to go all the way there. It's an 8-1 decision, so it's a sure-footed step in that direction, but perhaps only a tiptoe, given the distance that is still has to be traversed before we would have that kind of a model.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.